church. Our scripture reading will be coming from John 10, verses 14 and 15. That's John 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so knoweth I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. May God add a blessing to those who hear and abide in his word.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 8. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again, and what is done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was already here long ago, and it was here before our time. Amen. You know, when you think about God and all the blessings that he bestows upon us, and the wonderment that we have when it comes to knowing who God is and finding ourselves next to God as well, wonder sometimes, do we really trust God? And even sometimes wonder if we really obey God. Trust and obey are two wonderful things that God requires of us if we're going to be his children. And as today being Mother's Day is two of the things that mothers require of their children as well. And sometimes we don't trust our mothers as much as we obey them. We don't obey them as much as we trust them. The same can be said about God. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers today or who've been a mother of somebody in your lifetime, because all of us have been mothers to somebody at one time or another in our lives. And as a result of this being Mother's Day, I'd like to tell you a story about a mother sheep. A mother sheep. And about trusting and obeying. The story was written about 59 years ago. It was July of 1960. And there's a lot of truth in this story, so I thought it was worthwhile passing on to the congregation this evening as it pertains to motherhood. The story says that one day a lamb was taking a walk with his mother, and as they walked, he walked by a pig pen, and the pig was stretched out in that pig pen, happy as can be, wallowing in the mud and the stench of that pen. He looked so perfectly happy and comfortable that the little lamb was impressed by what he saw. The lamb was led to believe that he had been missing something. He looked out, saw inside the pen that this pig was having such a wonderful time, and he got to have some of that. He was missing out on something. So he turned to his mother, and a little gas, an idea had popped into his head. He looked up at his mother, and he says, Mother, may I wallow? The mother looked down at him, and in awe, she rocked back on her heels. She was shocked and surprised to think that a son of hers would ask such a question. So she regained her composure and answered quite firmly, of course not. Sheep never wallow. Sheep don't wallow at all. Mother, may I wallow? No, you may not wallow. But the little lamb was convinced. And the minute his mother's back was turned, as kids do, he sped right on over to the pig pen, slipped between the bars, felt his feet sink into that cool mud. And it was deeper than he had thought it would be, and it smelled terrible. He tried to back out, but found the mud clinging to his feet. He became afraid and jerked his body frantically, only to go deeper and deeper into that mud. And as he sank deeper into the mud, he became terrified. He wished that he hadn't even come. He wished that he had trusted and obeyed his mother, but he didn't. And in his desperation, he thrust about, and he lost his balance and fell on his side in that evil smelling mud that was all around him. The pig looked at him, and the pig was happy that he was in the pig pen, wallowing with him. He was happy for a companion, but the little lamb was afraid, and the pig couldn't have known. He couldn't move. He could only roll his eyes, and he thought every breath would be his last breath. And finally, as he had got to his last bleat, he was just so weak that he couldn't move at all. He had just given up. A farmer came along and tenderly lifted the lamb up from the death trap that he was in. He cleaned him up, made his wool nice and clean, and he restored him to his mother. And the mother sheep, as all mothers are, she was terribly hurt because she was disappointed that her little lamb had disobeyed her. She was hurt and she was disappointed because her little lamb had not trusted her words, "No, you may not wallow." She was even concerned by her own son for disobeying her commands and trying to wallow, even though sheep don't wallow. You know, only pigs wallow. And as a sheep, the mother said, "You are the only animal that sets the pattern of behavior for all other animals." There's a story told about sheep in the whole of Matthew chapter 10. And the story is told about us being the sheep that come from God. He says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They hear my voice, and they come. They hear my voice, and they trust that it is me, and they obey, and they come. They hear my voice, and they come." For years upon end, children hear the voice of mothers. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. And when they don't come, you hear that old refrain that goes over and over and over again, "Didn't you hear me call you?" Because they've fallen in their lives a bond in their own hearts and minds where they're becoming independent. And it's not that they don't trust their mothers. They don't trust their mothers enough because they're feeling dependency upon themselves. And they want to obey their mothers, but they're skirting right on the edge. And the mother, in all her love, might say it two or three times, "Didn't you hear me call you?" Jesus says that he calls us. He calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his darling son, Jesus Christ. Just when we find ourselves walking with God, we see some people out there in the world that are doing things that attracts us. And God is standing right there holding our hand, and we look up at God and we says, "God, can I wallow?" We have our own free will in our lives. And we find ourselves wallowing and in despair and terrified because we're sinking deeper and deeper in the stench of sin because we fail to realize that sheep, they don't wallow. They just don't. You see, hogs are born to wallow, but sheep are different creatures from hogs, and sheep just don't wallow. We don't wallow, church. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the love of God. We like to find ourselves wandering away from his trust and obedience to do our own thing sometimes, for we all sin and fall short of God's glory. But the obvious to me about this story is the fact that we are a new creature in Christ. We're his new creation. We are God's sheep. And when beyond a shadow of a doubt, we should know that we should never want to wallow in sin. We find ourselves in the company of our mothers, and she gives us comfort and joy. She gives us love beyond any love that we can ever imagine. And within our little hearts and minds, as little children sometimes, even as grown adults, we find ourselves with the mentality that we're going to do the things that we want to do, even though we find we have asked permission to do something that is not right. And so we do it, and we find ourselves wallowing. And so we disappoint our mothers, and we disappoint ourselves as well if we realize in our conscience, in our own hearts and minds, that the things that we've done certainly wasn't in line with what our mother would have had us to do. If we realize the things that we've done certainly not in line with the things that God would have us to do, we already know the rules. We know what's right and wrong. But we choose to ask that question every time we feel ourselves falling into the realm of the flesh. "Mother, may I wallow? May I wallow? Can I just get a little bit of mud on me? Because they look like they're having such a good time. And I know that I'm not supposed to be over there, but they're having so much fun. I won't be out very long, Mother. Just just wait for me just a few minutes. Let me just go wallow a little bit. It's an imaginative story. Again, it was written 59 years ago. Because no sheep has ever asked if he can wallow or not. Just so the Christian, we need to be apart from the things in the world. We need to understand the things in the world will hold no more appeal to us than a hog wallowing would for a sheep. Because wallowing for a sheep should be repulsive, and wallowing to us in this world should be repulsive as well. Now, mothers have taught us those things that were right and were good in the sight of God. And we've grown and we've deviated from some of those things. Because in our mind, in the back of our minds, there's always that wallow card, and we can pull it anytime we want to and feel like we free and independent to do the things that we want to do. And that old familiar frame comes to our minds, we make 18 or 21, and we say those two words that seem to crucify us every time: I'm grown. Sure you are. Sure you are. And the decisions that you make, when you make those decisions, you need to own up to them as if you're grown as well. Because wallowing is not for God's children. It's not for the sheep. And wallowing is not for any of a mother's children as well. We don't need permission from our mothers to do things that are not right in the sight of God. We tend to take them on and do them ourselves. But we know full well we're getting ready to do something that's wrong, so we ask if it's all right. I remember growing up as a child, we had in our mind to do something that wasn't good, and before we used to do it, and you really don't understand, you say, Lord, forgive me what I'm about to do. And you go and you do it anyway. Oh, Lord, forgive me what I'm getting ready to say, and you go and you just curse these people out. Can I wallow? I wonder, can I wallow? And I wonder if there are some of us as adult Christians today that take on the same permission in our lives, and we tend to want to wallow because we're really not satisfied being the Christian that God has called us to be. The call of the world is much more attractive. It doesn't smell that good, but sometimes when we're out there for too long, we forget what it smells like. It should be repulsive to each and every one of us to not trust and obey our mothers. It should be repulsive to each and every one of us to not trust and obey God. It should be repulsive to each and every one of us not to trust and obey the things that are right in God's sight. The smell of sin is too much for any of us to even bear. But we get used to it. We find ourselves caught up in it. We find ourselves apologizing to our mothers because she's disappointed in the person that we have become. And we never want to apologize to God for the Christian that we've become, because we're out there wallowing too much. And we never take the time to confess to God our sins and the deeds that we do in this world. Repentance is a wonderful thing, church. It's a wonderful thing. Mother, may I wallow? You can't wallow because sheep just don't. They don't do it, Brother Banks. Don't do it. I can see every now and then you might walk in the mud, but there are some things that happen that you just can't control, right? I've never seen anybody in at least in my life, and you might correct me if I'm wrong, find themselves just wandering into doing the right thing. You got to think about that. But the wrong thing, you just find yourself wandering all into it, and you wonder how you got there. Might have been last year or 2 years ago, this little boy was with his mom at the zoo. And she was holding his hand, and they were at the gorilla exhibit. And before you knew it, he was down there with the gorilla. If you remember, the gorilla was dragging him all around the exhibit, and he just thought he was going to die. Because it's exciting. Things that little children see are exciting. And before you know it, they're out of your sight. They're out of your sight. The things that we see in this world sometimes are exciting. And we find ourselves enthralled in them. We're getting dragged around by the world just like that gorilla was dragging that little boy. Sin will drag us and may very well kill us if we're not careful. Sometimes we just don't ask permission. We do it on impulse, not knowing the danger that's out there for us. This was an innocent sheep story, wallowing in the mud. But the mud was deep, and it was stinking, it was repulsive, and he shouldn't have been there. But God comes along, doesn't he? It's like that old farmer came along and says, at the right time, God came and he rescued us, just like he picked up that little sheep, was on his last breath, had folded over and rolled on his back, was about to die in mud. And God reaches down and pulls him out and he cleans him up and gives him back to his mother. He can do the same thing with us, church. We've just got to stop looking at those things of the world that appeal to us. Keep our eyes on the Christ. Keep our eyes and our minds and our ears pure to the things that our parents have taught us that were good and righteous in the sight of God. And trust and obey our mothers in all things if it's reasonable and right with God. Because again, all mothers don't make the right decisions. All mothers haven't done all things correctly. But they're still your mother, and God says that you should respect them. He didn't say how long or when to do it. He just says do it. Do it. Respect your mothers. So when the question pops up in your mind, if you want to wallow, just understand that if you're not happy in the church, you're not going to be happy out there in the world. Worldly people are happy in the world. The pig was content where he was. And the contentment of the world always attracts attention to those of us who don't know anything about it. And sometimes we want that contentment. Sometimes we want those things that's out there in the world. Only if we could find contentment in being Christians. If we can find contentment in being Christians, we can build a desire in other people that they could be Christians as well. But our contentment is not in Christianity. Our contentment is in the world. And we have got to find ourselves walking away from that. That we can be happy in Christ and people can see God in us and we can draw people out of the mud, those that are wallowing. However, if we go around complaining and criticizing and finding fault, we won't win anybody to Christ. Not at all. But you know what? Besides all of that, in 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul told Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Godliness with contentment, godliness accompanied by contentment is great gain. The child who can find happiness in serving the Lord will find contentment. The child who can find happiness standing next to the mother and trusting and obeying the mother, they're going to find happiness. The child who can stand by God and all of his promises that he's fulfilled and all the blessings that he's given us and all of his word is true in our lives, if we can stand by God, we're going to have contentment. And we won't wallow. If you're not happy and content in Christ, then what are you happy about? And who are you happy for? Contentment is only found in Christ, and contentment can be ours if we seek the knowledge and understanding that comes with God. I can hear that mother sheep again right now saying those words. Of course you cannot do that, because sheep don't wallow. And those words should have been sufficient for that little lamb, but they wasn't. Jesus calls all the time to those that are erring in the world. He says, I stand at the door and knock. And all you got to do is just let me in. And if you let me in, I'm going to come and make my bowl with you. But all you got to do is just let me in. I'm standing at the door knocking, but all you're doing is peeping out the blind, wallowing, when you know I'm standing out there waiting for you. Let me tell you something. When that mother turned her back, he crawled under that fence into the mud. He was impressed before he got in the mud. He wasn't impressed when he got in it. His whole idea was turned upside down. And if it had not been for the farmer, he would have lost his life. And that mother would have been grieved. If it had not been for God, if it had not been for Christ, we would lose our lives because we want to wallow too much out there in the world. But God, at just the right time, he saves us. Saves us. Sometimes telling children no, little boys and girls no, sometimes it's not enough. It's not enough. Girls and boys, men and women, mothers, children all over the world need to know that we just don't wallow. We don't do it. And how are we going to know it? If our parents spend more time with us and more effort explaining the dangers of playing with the wrong things, instead of using all these cliches as we grow up, you know, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Okay, all right. Explain to me what that means so that I don't get burned. Because inevitably, I'm going to play with fire. I'm going to do it. We confront it all the time because we don't explain to our children the things that need to be explained to them. Why can't we go to that X-rated movie? Why can't we go? We're old enough. I'm 18 now. I'm mature enough to drink a little at parties. And others are doing it. I'm just going to do a little respectable drinking. Can I wallow? Sheep don't wallow. And just saying those words will not work if the parents also wallow. Some parents drinking, their kids drinking right along with them. So if you wallowing, expect your children to wallow as well. A good mother sheep will not wallow. They will be examples of what a mother ought to be for their children. And your children won't listen all the time to you, and they're going to find themselves in situations, amen? They won't listen all the time. But you just be that example. Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. They become new. All new creatures in Christ are going to have the mind of Christ. They won't even ask about those things in the world because their mind is set on heaven. Seek those things which are above where Christ is, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Minds are going to be set on things above, not on things of this world. And if our minds are set on things above, not on things of this world, listen to me, you will not wallow. You won't do it. You won't even ask permission to do it. Paul says, knowing this one thing, Romans 6, 6, Colossians 3, 5, and 6. Put these two scriptures together. He said, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Put to death, therefore, the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, the ones that do not trust and obey God. You may feel that we're making a big old deal about a little old sheep story. But if you thought about that for just a moment, just a little bit, you're going to find that this isn't far from the truth as one might imagine. Because in John 10, Jesus used a story of some sheep as well. Fundamental truths for us. He used sheep to get his story across. He compares himself with the good shepherd that gives his life for his sheep in contrast to the one that's hired, that's just taking care of him. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. They hear his voice, they follow him, and they do not wallow. They don't wallow. He used another illustration in the parable in Luke 15, 3 through 7. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders and invites all his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He closes the scripture when saying, I say unto you, and likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. People that have wandered away, those sheep that have wandered, that are out there wallowing, he goes out and he gets them. He puts them on his shoulders and he brings them back home. There are a lot of sheep out there that are like that, church, that have wandered away from God. They're scattered abroad. They're sheep without a shepherd. In the final and great day of judgment, when all nations are going to be gathered before God, he uses another metaphor. He shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall have the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. To those on the right, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And those on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The question today is, church, is this is Mother's Day, and we love our mothers. How much do we trust and obey our mothers as children and even in our adult lives? And as you ponder that question, here's another question for you. Who in here today is guilty of wallowing? Who plays with temptation so much that they fall in love with it until it turns into sin and gets stink all around them? Stink to the fact that they don't even recognize their own smell. Who is guilty of wallowing? If you continue to wallow, you need to understand that sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch all the time and be prayerful because Satan is out there. The things of the world are going to attract us. And we feel the need to wallow. But watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And if you don't remember anything else as you walk this narrow path with God and with your mother, remember these three words: sheep don't wallow. Doesn't happen. If we can help you today to understand God's will for your life, God calls us to hear his word. He calls us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. We have to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5, and be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, where God will clean us up and make us pure and whole, and allow us to abide in his kingdom with all the saints as we fellowship with him and with one another and enjoy the meal that has been set before us as we sup with God. If we can help you tonight, why don't you come and stand and sing God's invitation song.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart and be saved, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Let us go to God.